Hi, listening friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. It's September 13th, 2013, and we're going to give away some tickets right away before we introduce our special guest on this, the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. So right now, the first and fifth caller at 217-367-7777 for our Indiana listeners, 1-888-333-9466. The first and fifth caller will get two tickets to tonight's premiere viewing of a film that we've been talking about all week long, A Strange Brand of Happy. It's a romantic comedy. You're going to enjoy it. It has a redemptive message. And we're going to, in just a minute, talk with the president of Rebel Pilgrim Productions. He's also the producer of A Strange Brand of Happy, and he's one of the lead actors with the character name of David Weathersby. And so we're going to have him on the line in just a minute. So right now, the first and fifth caller, and when this re-airs in the evening, at the same time in the program, the first and fifth caller will get two tickets, and you can purchase them at the Savoy 16 Theater. They'll have lots of tickets available there for walk-ups. So it's going to be here all week long, beginning tonight. Let's get a good turnout. We've had interviews on Monday and Tuesday, and today with us is Joe Boyd, the president of Rebel Pilgrim Productions. Joe, thanks for being available, because actually, you're in L.A., and this is the premiere. You're releasing this film throughout the country, but how are you able to carve out time for us? I know the demands on your schedule, being an actor, a producer, being involved with this production. How are you carving out time for us? I can't believe you're doing this, so thank you for being available.
Oh, no, thank you so much for having me. You guys have been a great support. This movie's going in 39 cities, and Champaign is one of them, and so those have been the 39 most important cities in the world to me of late. And any chance I get to communicate personally to people that might go see our film, I'm elated, and thank you for the opportunity.
Are you sensing maybe God's strength? Because I'm thinking the wherewithal, the demands on your life, the work in the late hours, all that goes into producing a film and getting it to the theaters and all the networking, incredible amount of demands. How are you being sustained through this, or how are you tending to this baby of yours?
Yeah, I mean, I do get exhausted. You know, anyone who's played sports, it's kind of the ninth inning, the fourth quarter, that sort of thing. Kind of to finish strong. It also feels a lot like having a baby. So it's coming ready or not in about 3 hours, right? But I really do think, you know, I'm obviously a person of faith, and I think God has called me to this. And, you know, anyone who's ever done anything in any sort of ministry capacity gets exhausted, but it's usually a good sort of tired, and that's what I experience now. My wife's a travel agent, so she has promised me the first week of December we're going somewhere nice. So that's another thing that keeps me going.
Hey, Joe, this is Pastor Jason. It's so great to have you on the show today. When I saw the movie, Mark and I got a link to be able to watch it. I noticed in the movie that there really this character goes on a journey. And I did a little background reading on you. Wrote a great article in the Huffington Post, which appeared, I think, a year ago or so. And you talked about your journey. Can you share with us the journey that you went on, almost like David Weathersby does in the movie?
Yeah, I will. I'll try not take up your whole radio day here because it's a long story. But I grew up in the church and wanted to be a preacher, pastor since I was a kid. I went to Bible college and seminary in Cincinnati, where I now live. And I went to Las Vegas because it felt like I wanted to start a church. That seemed like a great place to start one. It seemed like job security, right? Maybe the church is there. So I went out there. I've always been, I guess, one of my spiritual gifts is speaking and communicating. And really, I'm sort of a performer, obviously, I guess, now. But so I was good and liked the public speaking part of being a pastor, but I quickly found out that's one of 60 hours in your week. You know, so I had a little bit of a strained relationship with the whole thing. I love God, I love the church, but I wasn't a typical sort of pastor in terms of skill set. You know, I was growing up, and in my 20s, it took me a while to figure that out. Sort of led me to realize I'm probably better part-time pastor, or even sometimes as a volunteer serving my church, and just kind of fell into the entertainment world, started doing improvisational comedy with the Second City, which is the kind of training center where most of the Saturday Night Live folks come out of, and was doing it as a hobby, and they encouraged me to consider it as a career. And literally overnight, I went from the pastor working at a church to the next night working in a comedy show at the on the Vegas Strip 6 nights a week. So it was quite an extreme transition, and ever since then, that was about 10 years ago, God's just had me on a really you know, really unimaginable journey, having seasons where I'm a pastor working in the church and seasons where I'm only doing entertainment and jumping back and forth between the both of them.
When you'd hold staff meetings at the church, would you interject some of your humor, or was it like a natural fit, like where people are like, gosh, where is this pastor coming from?
Yeah, always at the wrong time. I can't help it. I really am an improviser. I was just lucky enough. I got to speak at chapel at my alma mater, Cincinnati Christian University, yesterday. And first time I had spoken at chapel in 18 years. And, you know, there was a Q&A afterwards, and I was talking about the movie. And I just realized, you know, the only thing I'm really good at is improv, which is having the ability to accept what's going on in the moment and take the next step. And I've sort of leveraged that in a ton of different ways. But I think God made me with the ability to sort of kind of make quick decisions and go with it. And sometimes that means I can be funny if I want to be. But what I found of late is it's a very essential tool in producing.
You know, it's very interesting. I tell people often that in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, Jesus kind of gives the Great Commission. And when he says it, he says, therefore, go. But he doesn't tell us how to go. And I think sometimes we think as Christians, the only way to go is kind of the Christian way. And yet, if that was it, I think Jesus would have defined it that way. But instead, I think that he wants us to go in the ways that he's creatively gifted us and sent us on this mission to go out and share what the gospel is. And I think that in doing that, and I think we see it through Scripture and through the disciples, there's a healthy bit of skepticism. And for you, there was in your journey, wasn't there?
Yeah, there still is. I love Jesus, and I don't mean that in any sort of superficial way. Like, I really, really like him. He's my master, and I do what he tells me, and he's changing the world, and I love being a part of it. And that has always been what's drawn me into the faith. You know, I'm pretty honest about the fact that I've also struggled with my faith in the supernatural, my faith trying to understand and grasp God the Father. So I've had a hard, conflicted spiritual journey, even as a pastor, where I'll wake up some days and, you know, it's hard to muster the faith I want to have. And I had the great opportunity to speak at a different church every weekend this summer about the movie, and just decided I was going to be honest with that and take a little risk and just let people know, you know what, faith isn't totally easy for me. I have to work at it a little bit. And what I found is there's a lot of people that believe, but just like the story with Jesus, right, they believe, but they need help with their unbelief. And there's a lot of us out there, and it's okay. I think your faith grows the minute you begin to acknowledge that it's not where you want it to be.
I think of many of the Psalms, like even King David. He penned many things like, Lord, I don't understand. Or
right, where are you?
Yeah, my mother and father have forsaken me or whatever. And by the end of the Psalm, he kind of generates, okay, Lord, I'm going to trust in you regardless, or I don't understand. And so there always is that kind of tension in having faith in the unknown, but knowing the character of God, he's the best unknown that we can place our faith in. And you've seen, as you've grown in your faith, kind of a redemptive way to redeem the arts, if you will, to use some of your skills, your abilities, ways of taking acting to a different level where you can bring in like a redemptive message. And you've tried to do that some in this movie, A Strange Brand of Happy, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's been an interesting journey. Can you hear that siren, by the way?
Yep, yep.
Okay, I can hold.
Is that your ride? No, I'm kidding.
We're in a 100-year-old building. It's the original office building for Procter & Gamble, and I don't think they've fixed the windows in the last 100 years. Yeah, I mean, I'm a storyteller. That's really what I think I'm called to do, is to tell stories that spark hope and lead people toward Jesus. And I get to do that in the church a lot. You know, when I preach, it's mainly telling stories from the Bible and from my life. But I'm also a performer and an actor, so it would only make sense, I think, that God would lead me to tell stories on film and television. I had to make a big decision 2 years ago if I was going to continue being a full-time pastor or be a full-time filmmaker again. The tipping point of the decision was just sensing that God was calling me to speak, preach, if you will, outside of the church. And as much as we worked hard at every church I've ever been in, having it be welcoming to people that are seekers and, you know, looking for God, there's a lot of people who will never go to a church no matter what. And I enjoy the opportunity to be able to maybe get to them and speak their language and make them think. And there's a lot of great Christian movies out there that have a Christian message, mainly for Christians, and those are great, but it's not really exactly what we're called to do at this time. We want to make movies that non-Christians or seekers will watch and maybe just ask a few questions that might lead them down the path. I really, really trust Jesus when he says, if you seek, you'll find. And so a huge part of my life mission is to be a catalyst for people to begin the process of seeking.
Mm-hmm. In your blog, I think it was, you had a quote there that really struck me. You share a story about sharing at a church the movie, and a girl comes up afterwards very emotionally moved by it. An atheist, her father died. A great story, a great vignette there. But you use this quote. You say, a good story is the spark that illuminates the first few steps on the pathway to hope. And when I read that, I thought, well, that's what Jesus did. Jesus came and he brought these stories, and every story, somebody's failing in the story. There's a bad son, there's a bad father, there's a bad harvester, there's a bad steward. But there's always a redemptive message that brings you on the pathway to hope. How do you hope that this movie will act as a path for people?
You know, I hope that it's a little, I hope it's surprising. It's got a little bit of a sucker punch at the end, I think. Not like tricking people, but just, I think it all comes together very well in the end, where you can leave and say, that was a fun movie, I laughed a lot. And that last couple scenes, I wonder what that's about. I wonder if that's true. You know, I don't want to give too much away, but I think what I hope happens as people leave the theater is that those who are ready to begin seeking something more would have a conversation with someone about it. And that's why it's so important to me that Christians would bring their friends to this, because you'll be right there with them if they want to have that conversation. We're not doing our job right if everyone has that conversation. Like, it needs to be people who are ready for it, because we also want to be trusted as a company to make movies that non-Christians can go to and not feel preached to, but just enjoy the content. That's really important to us. And so we try to walk that line where we have something to say and we want them to think about it and talk about it, but we don't want to feel like they've been preached to, you know.
Were you surprised by the end of the movie, or were there points in the movie when you guys are in the editing room and you're putting it together and you're surprised by maybe even the pathway or message of hope that's there? I mean, I don't want to give away the ending either, because I think it's a great ending, but I was surprised by that.
Yeah, well, you're so close to it. I think just as an artist and a filmmaker, you're always surprised that your movie even gets finished. It's just so hard. It's a little easier for me. We just shot a movie this summer called Hope Bridge that I only act in for like one day. I have a very small part. And that one's a lot easier for me to kind of see holistically and see the story and to speak into the edit. This one, I'm in almost every single scene as an actor. And so for me personally, it's hard to know what's working and what's not the whole time. I'm just thinking, you know, as much as you don't want to be vain or about yourself, it's hard to watch yourself on screen and think, I wish I'd made a different choice, or I wish my hair looked different, or whatever it is, you know. So, but the first time I really felt like I experienced the whole movie as an outsider as much as I could was this last week. We had our world premiere at the Cincinnati Film Festival, and I didn't want to watch it. I was nervous. There were 500 people there. But I stood at the back by the projector, and I was able to sort of get into the story and watch it. And I was surprised in a good way at the end. And it was great seeing it with the crowd, because you could feel their response. And it worked. Hmm. And so that's always what, you're never sure till you see it with a big group of people. But I was very, very confident. Everything we thought would work, for the most part, worked. And it's our hometown, so we had a couple hundred friendly faces there, but all the local press was there from Cincinnati and from the whole region, really. And almost every one of them came up to me and said, this is amazing, it's great. So it was good to, you know, people that can be critical to say it was good was a good feeling, obviously.
In case you just tuned in, we have Joe Boyd. He's the president of Rebel Pilgrim Productions. He's a producer, and he plays a main role in the film that's debuting tonight at the Savoy 16 Theater and around the country, called A Strange Brand of Happy, a romantic comedy. It's a love story. There's much in this movie, Joe, that I identified with the humor, because of Jason and I, my co-host Jason. We have I think a pretty good sense of humor, and we love to laugh. And those two roommates that are always kidding on each other and coming up with zany little comments or cuts or digs that are all just so funny. And so I totally identified with many of the characters. And even when Rebecca St. James shared on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, there were points where she was acting out, sharing her faith, and that God can be pleased with some of the decisions we make, that in fact we can make him happy. And she said it wasn't like she was acting. It was like from the core of her heart, sharing passionately what she believes in. And so, like you said, a lot of these actors portray many of the things that we struggle through, we go through, that we can really identify with life experiences. You didn't try to just make it a real generic, bland film. These are real life decisions that people make and experiences that they have.
Yeah, our creative team has a unique style, and we wanted to do a movie. Obviously, you want to do a movie that you would go see yourself and that you'd be proud of. And I think this is quirky and sort of modern and different and new, especially, you know, we've been careful to say this isn't a Christian movie. It doesn't belong in that genre necessarily, but it's a movie that Christians can certainly embrace. But those who do lump us into the sort of Christian or religious genre will say this is different than anything at all out there. And I think it's just, I'm a comic coming from a comedy background. Our distributor who picked this up to put it in theaters, we weren't sure we were going to get a theatrical deal, and he saw it, emailed me immediately and said, I want to do this. This is like Office Space meets Napoleon Dynamite with a faith message. And I said, we're in. That's what I want to hear. So, you know, we like those sorts of offbeat comedies, and I think this has it. We say it's a romantic comedy, and it is. Sometimes I say it's a comedy with a splash of romance. It's a romantic comedy made by a bunch of guys.
So, you know, I noticed that there was a lot of great chemistry in the movie, as Mark alluded to, the two friends in the movie. Are you and Benjamin Keller friends in terms that you've known him a long time? I mean, it just seemed like there was more relationship there than, say, two actors who met on a set, read some parts, kind of did a few lines together, and were ready to go.
Yeah, Ben Keller, he is a friend of mine and now a great friend after making the movie together. We knew each other and, you know, had hung out a couple times. And he's a friend of the director who's one of my best friends, Brad Wise. At the time, a local guy. He was living in the south of Dayton and we were in Cincinnati. And Brad and I just were always amazed when he would do little things for us at just how good he was as an actor. He was working at Starbucks and we were just like, you got to do this movie. So now he's in Hollywood doing the thing, doing the drill and trying to make it happen. So it's a combination of, yeah, Ben and I already had a bit of a relationship going, and he's just a phenomenal actor. So that created some magic, I think. You know, when we cast, especially our supporting characters, we never have enough money to compete with the big guys. So we're often casting our friends that we know are very talented and already have rapport with. So Holly Walker, who plays Rebecca, St. James' best friend, has been in almost every single one of our movies. She was in The Second City with me, and I think she's brilliant. And not only is she a great actor, but she has the ability to, whoever her co-star is, she comes in, and it feels like they've been friends for life. And Rebecca and Holly's relationship on screen is great. And then, you know, I think Rebecca and I connected pretty naturally as well. So it works. That is a huge part of this film is the chemistry that just kind of, sometimes you just get lucky, or I guess we could say maybe God was in it, right?
Yeah, I thought it was funny when we had Philip on earlier in the week. He said, Joe said, if I helped, he'd let my cat be in the movie.
Yeah, because he was trying to get his mom in, and that didn't quite work out. But he said, being the executive producer, and then you were going out looking for some money to help finance this, you said, yeah, I'll even put in your cat. And he said, oh, I should ask him for more. Hey, who came up with that line that Shirley Jones shared about you being a sickly-looking Ray Ramon? Because that was classic, but I think you look better.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That's an inside joke for years with the director, writer, Brad Wise, and me, who I said is one of my best friends. I get Ray Romano a lot here when I speak at my home church at the Vineyard in Cincinnati. It's kind of a big church, and I think it's a little, I look like him a little, but it's probably my delivery and my style, my tone, my sarcasm is very close to his.
Yeah.
And Brad just wanted the opportunity to make fun of me in a scene, and it was funny, so I let him do it.
Yeah, it was classic. Well, we only have a minute or two here, and I'm going to give away some more tickets in just a minute, but maybe in our closing minute or two, do you have like a favorite story or something? I mean, getting Shirley Jones a part of this movie, or Rebecca St. James and some of the other actors. And I know Shirley Jones's husband, that was the first time they ever acted together. So do you have something that you just kind of delight in when you think about the sets and some of the interactions that took place over the filming of this special movie that's debuting tonight, A Strange Brand of Happy?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many great stories with Shirley because she won the Academy Award in 1960 for Elmer Gantry, and people know her as Mrs. Partridge, but she was a huge, huge movie star in her late teens and early 20s. Beautiful, top three or four starlet. She's got all these amazing stories of, like she told me that, well, I don't know if I should say, she was telling me all the old Hollywood stars that were bad kissers, all that kind of fun stuff, right? And
yeah.
Then I did a scene with her You know, I'm a professional actor. I've earned my stripes a little, but nothing compared to her. And I did a scene with her, and she said afterwards, I was always a little nervous. And afterwards, she said, you know who you remind me of? And I was bracing myself for Ray Romano again. And she's like, Jimmy Stewart.
Hmm.
And she's like, I said, oh, that's a real honor. Actually, turned my wife, who was on set that day, I turned her and said, I want that on my tombstone, that Shirley Jones said I reminded her of Jimmy Stewart. But then I realized, and then she said, no, I don't, I mean, on screen, but also off screen, he was the sweetest guy.
Hmm.
And I realized, oh, she knows Jimmy Stewart, or she knew him, you know.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just like it was her friend. And that was one of the biggest compliments I had been given. And so I've been working on my Jimmy Stewart impersonation.
Hmm.
Maybe I'll be an impersonator in Vegas someday or something. It was a huge honor. One last thing, Shirley and Marty, you know, this is a smaller film than they usually do. And they were a little, I think, rightly concerned coming in how it was going to go. And as they were leaving set on the last day, they pulled me aside and Shirley said, this has been the most rewarding experience of our careers.
Hmm.
It's still hard to say out loud. It just seems ridiculous since she won an Oscar. But she said, we never got to work together, and we've never been around the spirit of people that's on this film. And so, you know, I don't know where they are faith-wise. Doesn't really matter in terms of making the movie, but, you know, they saw something in us that I think had to be God.
Yeah, and how God uses
really
the
cool
planting of the seeds, and all of us have different points where we can influence and draw people closer to Him. So, well, Joe, I know you got to go. You have your big debut in L.A. tonight. The movie is called A Strange Brand of Happy. Right now, the first and fifth caller at 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777 during the morning edition of Mark and Friends. And when this re-airs tonight at this point in the program, the first and fifth caller will win two tickets. And it's debuting at the Savoy 16 Theater. Boy, Joe, thanks for being available. We'll be praying you up and hope that a lot of our listeners and people around the nation will show up for this movie, A Strange Brand of Happy.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Thanks.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Shippo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.